From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues his fourth message in an extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua. As God prepared Joshua for entrance into the Promised Land, he emphasized many things that provide spiritual lessons for Christians in every age. In verse 8 of chapter 1, God said to his servant, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." In these words we find God's definition of success, a definition which is quite different from the world's. Knowing God is real success and prosperity. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled Successful Christian Living. First, he takes a few minutes to warn believers and unbelievers against bad investments.
You've read the headlines, mortgage rates are going up, people are losing their homes, going into foreclosure, businesses are failing, because somewhere along the line, they have made bad investments and bad investment decisions. Now, nobody wants to make a bad investment. I haven't met anybody who deliberately takes his hard-earned money, except somebody who's drinking or smoking or gambling or doing drugs. You could say, yeah, they're deliberately taking their hard-earned money and just throwing it down the drain. But when it comes to investing, I don't know anybody who takes his hard-earned money and deliberately puts it into a bad investment. They think they're going to get something out of it. They think it's going to do well. They think they've got the inside track. They've been given the information. They've studied the thing up themselves. They think their investment is going to pay off. That's why people invest. They think they're going to make more money as the result of it. Now, of course, they often make mistakes. That's why people get into such trouble through investments as they do get into. But it's strange to me that while these investments get so much space in news, whether in radio, newspapers, television, or whatever, that the worst investment of all is hardly ever talked about. It surely is wise for people to want to invest their money wisely and righteously, but you could do that and still be making the worst of all investments. I'm sure you've read of those cases where shysters come along and they can tell people a story, they can paint them a picture, they can make them promises, they can get them to part with their money. And once they've parted with their money, they make off with it. And of course, the person has invested very, very, very foolishly. They have been conned by professionals at the game of conning people out of their hard-earned money. There have been television series in this. You've got people sitting in little cafes in West Africa with nothing but a computer and access to the internet, and they're scamming people all over the United States out of tens of thousands of dollars, getting to make phony investments. Now, when these people find out what's happened, they are aghast. And they feel such fools that they have been so manipulated. And yet, as I say, they make an even worse investment. And they fall for an even greater scam and a more egregious lie. And I'm talking about investing their life in sin and for Satan. They listen to the devil's lie. He maligns God. He blasphemes Christ. He paints the gospel and Christianity in dark colors. He paints God as an ogre, a tyrant, the life of righteousness and holiness and fellowship with God as a life of misery. He paints the bright lights of satanic attractions as beautiful, alluring, and he encourages people to do what? To invest their lives, invest their souls in sin and the service of Satan. But the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, the last thing in the world the devil and his crowd want you to think about is sin when it's finished. They want you to think of it now, in the moment of excitement, in the moment of its action. They want you to think of the fun you can feel, the pleasure you can feel at this moment, but they don't want you to think of when it's finished. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every one of us needs to stop and take stock and ask, how am I investing the one life that God has given me? How am I investing the time, the body, the soul and its faculties with which God has blessed me? Am I investing it for sin and the devil? Or have I ever, as a poor sinner, come to Christ, confessing my sin, to receive Him as Lord and Savior of my life, so that I can now live for Him, make an investment with my life that will pay rich dividends for time and for eternity? Do not make the ultimate bad investment.
As you enjoy this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, we'd like to call your attention to a new publication. The Free Presbyterian Church has produced a devotional book entitled A Word in Season. Here is an ideal companion for your daily Bible reading and prayer. In a beautiful hardcover edition, A Word in Season contains 366 clear, concise Bible studies on the major themes of Scripture concerning what it means to be a Christian. Each day it brings you a text of Scripture with a short study to edify and encourage you. At the back of the book is a section, Begin and End the Day with Scripture, which sets out a schedule of daily Bible readings designed to take you through the entire Bible once and the Psalms and New Testament twice in 2 years. The title, A Word in Season, recognizes that we all face different situations and have different needs in our Christian walk. Whatever your season, youth or old age, sickness or health, happiness or sadness, blessing or bereavement, here are messages that will minister the truth of God's Word to your heart. The price is $20, which includes postage and handling. To obtain a copy of A Word in Season, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to obtain your copy of A Word in Season.
What is God's fundamental definition of success? The Hebrew verb that is here translated, success, and it is a verb that he's saying, thou shalt have good success. That's all one word, have good success. It's a very interesting word. The very first thing I notice about it is that it is not the kind of word that the world would associate with the idea of success. The root meaning of this verb is to be wise. Indeed, if you take a concordance and look carefully at how it's used in the scriptures, you'll find that it is often translated to be wise, to be understanding, to be prudent. It is translated to instruct. In the 41st Psalm, it's translated to consider. Now, you can see that all those varied translations are actually very, very close in meaning. This is a word that has to do with thinking, with understanding, and with using the knowledge that you have obtained. And it is in the light of this basic meaning of the word that we should understand its further usage when it is translated to prosper or to have success. Let me show you how the scriptures use it. And out of many dozens of places, I'll choose just a very few. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 19. All this, said David, and he's speaking about the pattern and the plans for the temple which the Lord had given him. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, made me understand. That's the word that's translated have good success. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 22. Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. The word taught. He spake comfortably to the Levites who taught. Same word as we have in our text. Nehemiah says in chapter 9, verse 20, to the Lord, thou givest also thy good spirit to instruct them. If we were to adopt, I'm not saying we should, but certainly they are very closely related. If we were to adopt the translation of our text, Nehemiah would be saying, thou givest thy good spirit to lead them into good success. Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord says, I will instruct thee with mine eye. Now those are all the very same word that we have in our text that's translated, have good success. You can see how David joins them together in Psalm 101 and verse 2. He says, I will behave myself wisely. Actually, that's a translation that is used of David three or four times when this verb is applied to him. I will behave myself wisely, in a perfect way. That is the word that we have before us. Now, if you think of that, you'll find here is real success. It's nothing to do with what the world counts to be success. Here is real success, to receive instruction from the Lord and to live accordingly. That is successful living, in a nutshell. To receive instruction from the Lord and to live accordingly. You'll see immediately we must not determine success according to the terms of the world. We must not determine success or define it because of something that produces a set of preconceived results. We are so result-oriented, especially in this day and age, that unless we have certain preconceived results, we do not have success. I once heard a minister in this area on radio, and he was speaking to all the new people who were coming into Greenville. And the first thing he wanted to say to them was to find a church, to find a good church. And that meant you had to find a church of a certain size. Because if it wasn't that big, then obviously God was not blessing it. By that man's standard, Noah was a failure. By that man's standard, the Lord Jesus Christ was a failure. Because he certainly never did, in his lifetime, build the kind of solid core that the disciples went on to build after Pentecost. We have this preconceived notion of this, and this must be the result, and if we have those results, we have success. We must start off where the scriptures start off and see that successful Christian living is scriptural living. It's scriptural living. That is the ultimate success. I say ultimate because if you look at Proverbs 15, verse 24, you'll find the way of life, mark you, is above to the wise that he may depart from hell beneath. The way of life is above to the wise. The wise is again the very same word as we have in our text. This is the successful man. Ultimate success is getting to heaven. Ultimate success is departing from hell. The man who lives his life for gain, for business, for pleasure, for earthly relationships, for earthly power, pomp, and position, and ends up in hell, that man is a failure. The man who departs from hell beneath and lays hold of life and goes to heaven, that man is wise, and God says that man is successful. That is the ultimate success. That's why Moses prayed, "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they understood this." That again is the verb we're dealing with. "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they had such understanding that they would lay hold of what real success is and consider their latter end. Oh, that people who are laying hold of the here and now, oh, that people who are laying out everything to get a grip of the world's wealth and the world's pleasure and the world's power, oh, that they were truly successful. Oh, that they were truly wise. That they would consider their latter end." This is real success. Jeremiah put it this way in the words of the Lord himself. In chapter 9, 24, "Let him that glorieth glory in this." If you're going to boast. Now, there's something in us all. We all love to boast. The most humble ultimately has something about which he likes to boast. Some boast in their own success. Some boast in the success of their children. We always used to laugh at my father. He loved to dream up things that were about 10 million miles from the truth. As he got old and got senile, he, of course, it was laughable, but I don't think he was really responsible for it. But as he got very senile, he used to tell people who came to visit him about these sons of his that he had in America. One was a millionaire. Of course, my brother hadn't heard about that. He was a millionaire. He owned half the electric companies in the United States. I think somewhere along the line he had heard that he had bought a few shares. And somehow or other it got into his head that he owned all these utilities. He was one of the big cheeses. The other one, he was one of the great barons of business. Frank was just a wee fellow at the time, and he looked at him and he didn't expect that a minister would be a millionaire. So he really got me in the soup. He said, "No, my dad's not a millionaire. And he's not half of that, but I think he's about half of that." My father thought he had been in the wrong job all those years. But there he was boasting. There's an excuse for an old man who's gone senile. But a lot of people do that. They boast in themselves. They boast in their accomplishments. They boast in their education. Stupidly, they boast in their brains. If there's one thing in this world you oughtn't to boast about, it's how clever you are, how brainy you are, for you had absolutely nothing to do with that. They boast, they boast, they boast. Now, Jeremiah quotes the Lord. If you're going to boast, here's the thing to boast in. "Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth." It's the word with which we're dealing. That he understandeth. If he wants to boast of success, let him boast of this real success. That he understandeth, and he knoweth me. He knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Do you notice how the first part and the last part of the verse coincide? If you want to glory in something, glory in what I delight in. If you want to boast about something, boast that you know God. For man, if you don't know the Lord, doesn't matter who else you know. Doesn't matter who else you know. If you don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter what else you gain. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This
is real success. The scriptures call this prosperity. When Solomon was coming to the throne, David, his father, spoke to him. And in 1 Kings 2, verse 3, he told him, "Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments and testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." The very same word, that thou mayest prosper. This is the good success that the Lord promised Joshua. And this is still the very essence of successful Christian living. So God's fundamental definition of success is found in the word that is here used.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.